long time no see, our bad.
You see, what had happened was...
What had happened?
Is that with COVID kind of being over, question mark, they started making me go back to the office.
Yes. Businesswoman doing business things.
Yeah. And it takes up a lot of time. And it sucks. I've been working late, like, every single day this week. And the week before that. So... Here we are.
Here we are. We're back.
With the episode that we promised you like 2 weeks ago. Woo! Woo!
Cue the music.
Okay, friends.
Guess what?
We have
a surprise.
What's up? What it do?
That's it? That's all you have?
That's how you're going to introduce yourself?
Oh, I thought y'all were going to introduce me.
I mean, we can.
Hype me up.
What is there to hype? Okay, so we have my crusty dusty sister. My crusty dusty sister, Raffi, here. Our number one fan.
Yes.
Here live with us.
I thought I was downgraded.
You were.
I'm the number two fan.
You're the number two fan.
So then who's number one?
Nick. Oh. Don't put his government name. I'm going to have to bleep it out. Nick,
whoops.
You know who you are. He's a faithful listener.
He is.
He be listening to our episodes as soon as we release them.
I like how y'all are bragging about someone else while I'm here.
Well, like, do better.
You wish he was here instead of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ayo, what up?
So it's Raffi.
Our first ever little guest feature.
Yes. Yeah. And we're currently on the floor of my mom's guest bedroom trying to record this. So
yay!
I will try to be useful and helpful in my knowledge of psychology.
Oh, yeah.
And that's about it.
She's a teacher, so she's qualified to do this.
Yes. Yeah. Hope my students don't hear this.
Do not. It's not kid friendly.
No.
But hey, y'all, I'm Julie.
And I'm Kat.
And we are the crime fighting, cult leader bullying duo.
Yes.
Of Miss Murder.
Y'all are bullies.
Honestly, it's the only thing that keeps me going. Like, since I was, apparently multiple people have said that I have a great podcast voice. So my ego will have no end. My ego is through the roof right now. So thank you for indulging in my ego.
Can't give you that ammo.
No. Maybe I don't need something to get you by.
Yeah, maybe. Well, no, I'm still going to beg people to listen because that's.
Dignity.
Who that's just dignity. We don't know her. Even with this ego. Yeah. We're not familiar.
Yeah. So, Raffi, tell us, are you excited to be here?
I'm hyped. I love podcasts.
I'm a big podcast person. She's like, I'm hyped.
I just spit up my drink.
I'm hyped. She has like a blank expression. Like, I wish y'all could see this. She has a totally blank expression on her face. I'm hyped.
I'm so excited
to be here right now.
I blame my ADD. That's how I am. You know me.
Well, like, you have to be a dynamic guest.
I am dynamic. I can't be someone I'm not, Julie.
I guess that's fair.
Gotta be authentic.
We gotta bully cult leaders, not your sister.
Oh, yeah, not my sister. Okay.
Yes. Also, someone has to keep the chill.
If you came here for chill, this is not the right podcast for you.
Turn away. Turn away now.
Honestly, turn us off because you're not going to enjoy it if you came here for chill.
There's a lot.
If you enjoy chaos. Catastrophe.
Bullying.
And
catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Thank you.
Then you've come to the right place.
You've come to the right place.
So... I have not yet had my chance to bully a cult leader.
That's true.
So that is what I'm doing today.
Yes.
I am bringing a new person for us to bully.
Yes.
And I'm really excited about it because I feel like this person and this cult is very bullyable.
Okay.
Good word.
That's a word. That's a word?
Yeah.
That's a word.
Teacher gives you a thumbs down. But I want to know, which cult is worse, the one you're about to talk about or Scientology?
definitely Scientology.
Really? Oh, okay.
Scientology is like...
That's unmatched.
It's unmatched. It's like a global superpower.
Okay. Yeah, it's like...
Underground. Like, we don't even know half the shit that they've done.
True. It's like if Nixium was never caught.
Who's Nixium? What is Nixium? I don't know. Nixium?
No, I don't know.
Julie doesn't know about Nixium.
Y'all
what do
know
I do?
About Nixium? Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I'm stupid.
I don't know what that is either.
It's, oh, okay. Basically, it was a cult. It was like... It was one of those things where it's like, oh, we have sessions where we empower you. Ooh. It's one of those things. And they basically, like, sex trafficked women. And they were branded with the initials of the leader. And they were told, like, I don't even remember what they were told. But they were told, oh, this is an important symbol. But it was just the leader's initials crooked, like, a different way. Yeah, so he's in prison.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody went to prison here.
Oh.
It ended much sadder than that.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I know which one.
So, have you guys heard of the Heaven's Gate cult?
Of course I have.
Of course you have. But Raffi hasn't. Nope. So, this will be a wild ride.
Cool.
Because you know Jonestown, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So, that's the largest mass suicide, like, ever?
It was, like, 500 people.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
But this is the largest mass suicide ever. On U.S. soil. So this happened here.
Right.
Okay. So this is, let's get into it.
Let's get it.
Jump in.
Do it. Okay.
Let's do the damn thing.
So let's start with a little bit. Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, before I start, if I sound nasally and I start coughing, I don't have COVID.
She got the Delta.
I got the Delta. No, I don't. It's a sinus infection because I was in Austin, Texas for a bachelorette party and we went swimming at 2 a.m.
And she nasty.
And I'm stressed from work, so my immune system's just shot.
Oh, God. Perfect timing. Ew. Ew, what was that?
I'm diseased. Anyway, so yeah.
But it doesn't take away your charm.
Thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Okay, so let's start with a little background. Don't read my notes.
Sorry.
Raffi's reading my notes, and she's going to take away from the
She's
going
to spoil it for herself.
Don't look. I won't look. Don't look. I don't have a second monitor, so like I can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. Whatever.
Okay, anyway. Okay. Heaven's Gate cult. It was founded by... Marshall Herf Applewhite Jr.
That's a title.
That's a fucking title.
No, that's not a title. That's a name.
It's just not.
It doesn't have power to it. Herf. It's more of like you got drunk and like threw darts at a board and was like, yeah, yes.
That's
Marshall
Herf Applewhite. And we're going to throw in a junior for spice.
The junior's extra.
Yeah. And Bonnie Nettles. So,
oh, that's kind of a cute name.
Yeah, it's a cute name.
But I don't think she's a cute person.
She's
so.
Not. She's
so.
Really not. She's really. Yeah. And the crazy thing is that many, like, throughout history and, like, pretty much all media coverage, they attributed the cult, like, they called Herf Applewhite, like, the cult leader.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
He was the one that all of the media focused on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually go back and read about... the cult, like the founding of it, it was actually Bonnie Nettles, like ideals.
Yeah, she was a power player.
She was a power player. Like she was in the shadows, and Herf was pretty much just her figurehead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Behind every powerful man.
Yeah. So like, it's crazy because you know how cults will prey on people when they're at their low points.
Yeah, yep. They're vulnerable.
When they're vulnerable, mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
So yep. Pretty much, Herf Applewhite was born on May 17th, 1931 in Spur, Texas, and Bonnie Nettles was born August 29th, 1927 in Houston, Texas. So she was known as the older member. That is what they called her.
Literally, she's what, 4 years
older? 4 years
older?
She was like, she is what an older
cougar.
Member. Yeah.
Was that during World War II? No, that was the 40s, JK. Yeah.
She's trying to do the math in her head.
31. I can't.
What math?
Okay, World War One was like 1917, right? Mm-hmm. And then that was World War One. I've had some wine. Stay with me,
okay,
as I travel through time.
Yeah,
World War Two
Hush.
World War II was what, 1941 to 1944, 45?
So it was stewing. Stewing.
I was Germany way was off.
On their shit.
So they're in the in-between of this
okay. Oh, war. Wonderful. In the
Great Depression in America.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's where they're at.
Yeah. So they were born.
Cool.
Were they? And so pretty much how Marshall came to know Bonnie is that, so Marshall, but he was mostly known as Herf. Like, everybody knew him as Herf. He received his bachelor's degree in philosophy from Austin College in 1952, and then after that started to study theology at the Union Presbyterian Seminary in hopes of becoming a minister, because he came from, like, a very strict Presbyterian
family.
Oh, it's
family. Texas in the 1920s, 30s, yeah. During the Great Depression.
But he was like, yeah, no, I don't really want to be a minister. I really love musical theater.
Oh my God.
And I want to be a singer.
What a oh, this yeah. is perfect. So, I mean, not how it ends up no. overall, but just this shift.
So, I mean, you will see that this man's love for musical theater.
It's like, y'all?
It may be worse than us.
Okay. Oh.
It may be worse.
See, I was like a theater kid, but I was never cast. So that's my badge of shame.
I understand. You know what? I feel like Herf could relate. Because
I'm going to be a cult leader like Herf.
You're going to be a cult leader. Because after he dropped out from seminary school and decided to pursue his music career, he got a master's in music from the University of Colorado.
Ooh. Represent.
But then was drafted into the army in 1954 for 2 years and got married, had two children, then moved to New York City.
Like any true theater geek.
Exactly. He wanted to be on Broadway.
He wanted to see his name in lights.
He wanted to see his name in lights.
Frank Sinatra.
But he was a huge failure.
Oh my God. Like
I don't know how else to put it. Like, he literally
just bombed.
He just, like, the thing is, he had a nice singing voice, okay, but he just didn't have the face for musical theater. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So he joined like regional
he would be like
groups.
off Broadway
like, yeah. He joined like regional chorus groups, and he was always like cast as the lead male voice, but he was just not
he was the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's not a theater face.
That's not a theater face. Rafi just looked up Herf.
Oh man.
And he just
his eyes.
Yeah,
he's yeah, Phantom. Just imagine seeing he's that a little eye off-putting. Under the Phantom mask.
He's a little off-putting.
Yeah. He is.
So pretty much after his professional singing career failed, he went to teach at the University of Alabama.
Ooh.
He gained lots of recognition. He was very respected by his students.
Well, that's nice.
But he was eventually fired because he had a sexual relationship with a male student.
Ooh. Mr. Robinson.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was at this time that Herf realized that he had these same sex desires.
Oh no, not the homosexuality.
The homosexual tendencies just contradicted with his religious upbringing.
Yeah, of course.
And he just became very frustrated.
Yeah.
So he lost his job. His wife found out about the affair with the student.
No.
Divorced his ass.
Left him in
the
dust.
So he was like, let me try to restart. So he moved to Houston, Texas.
Back to the homeland.
And so there, he got a job as the chair of the music department at the University of St. Thomas and found even more success there.
Well, that's nice.
He became a popular local singer, was also respected by his students. But then in 1970, he resigned due to quote-unquote emotional turmoil.
Oh.
Because he was still having these, like...
Oh.
He wanted to keep having affairs with male students.
He liked the boys.
He liked the boys, and he should not be liking the boys. I mean, like, you can like boys, just not your students.
He's having the internal religious conflict and Presbyterian guilt.
Exactly. So then, in 1971... his father passed away, and this threw Marshall into like a spiral and deep depression.
Rip.
That's sad.
And this is when he met Bonnie.
Ooh, Bonnie found a fresh youngin' with emotional trauma.
So, depending on what source you read, it's kind of debated how he came to meet Bonnie. So, Bonnie Nettles was a nurse in a hospital. And so, like, some sources say that he went to the hospital to visit a friend. Mm-hmm. Some people say that he himself was checked into the hospital for, like,
his emotional distress.
Mm. But at the end of the day, he met Bonnie and they formed a very close relationship while discussing their ideas of mysticism.
What does that mean?
Mysticism is like essentially like a theology, like a religion, but has to do with like
the universe.
The universe and spatial bodies and things like that.
Like, almost like extraterrestrial bodies, but like,
yeah,
there's something more. There's some force in the universe out there that is
controlling things.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like,
he's got a philosophy degree.
He's got a, he knows right. He's got a philosophy degree. Exactly. So they pretty much instantly hit it off. And Herf would always say after this that he felt like he had known her in a past life. And that Bonnie told Herf once they met that she had a dream that had foretold their meeting by extraterrestrials.
That's sure. already a red flag right there.
It's a red flag.
Thanks.
So, you know, they got to talking and eventually they decided that they were divine messengers with an assignment and a purpose to save
humanity.
Isn't that always their story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I was saying earlier, sociologists that have studied the Heaven's Gate cult in depth actually credit the formation of this cult to Bonnie rather than to her.
Yeah.
Because she was originally the one that was interested in astrology, UFOs, and various New Age philosophies.
And that's okay, but the way they did about it was not okay. Good.
And, you know, Applewhite clearly at this time was like going through some emotional turmoil. He was very impressionable and vulnerable. Yeah. And so he just pretty much followed along with Bonnie's ideas and was like, I'll follow you. If you care about me and love me.
Yeah,
and that's all
I have so much emotional turmoil going on. Guide me, Space Mother.
Space Mother.
Wait a minute. Was she a Leo? August
27th? No, that's.
She's a Leo.
Leo?
No, that's August 27th, JK.
Yeah, 27th, I thought. Hold on.
I was going to say it's Leo season.
August 29th.
Watch
so
out.
That's next. What's the next one?
It is a Virgo.
Virgo.
See, Virgos are also kind of
they're
crazy.
Supposed to Also kind of
crazy. Also kind of crazy because they're very, like, organized. Like, they're always, like, plotting shit.
Maybe their sun sign was Leo.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I know my big three, so I think that just makes me a very emotional Capricorn, which is very ironic.
That's cute, though.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm an air sign because I'm such a freak spirit.
You are such a freak spirit.
I'm very grounded with the earth.
Libras are fucking...
We're whatever you want us to be, baby.
Are you?
Yeah. I keep the balance.
Sorry. Okay, so I think I'm going to have to play a little
The elevator music.
Sorry, y'all.
It happens at least once an episode.
My work interrupted our recording.
So sad.
But I'm doing this on company time, so really.
Get your monies.
Get my monies and get my podcast. Anyway. All right, so we just talked about Marshall and Bonnie. They're all talking about mysticism and shit.
Marshall?
Herb.
Herf.
What'd I say?
This is your research. You said Herb.
It's the same name. Anyway.
Herbal essences.
Herfulescence.
That sounds like a disease.
It does.
Like a sexually.
I got herfulescence.
Have you or a loved one suffered from herpalepis?
What is that?
What?
Go ahead, herpalepis?
Stephalophagus.
It's the wine.
It is.
Catherine's already red.
That's true. That's so true.
Oh, this is going to be chaotic. Oh, it's going to be fun. I love it. Okay. So they have now decided that... We just keep getting interrupted. More elevator music.
Go ahead.
Okay. So around this time, after they decided that they got their divine freaking mission to save humanity.
Right.
Herf starts to have visions. Okay. And in these visions, he was told that he was chosen for a role like that of Jesus.
Here's my proposition.
Okay.
And I say,
yes,
we take all of the prophets that have claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus and do a Hunger Games / yes. crucifixion
who's the real
style.
Jesus?
Yes. Who is the real Jesus out of all of these people? Almost like...
Trademark that idea. Nobody steal it. Nobody steal that idea.
What's that game? No. The little imposter. You have to find out who's the imposter. Yeah.
Among Us.
Among Us, yeah. Jesus is Among Us.
I like Jesus.
Jesus is among us.
Okay, nobody
everyone.
Steal that idea.
I'm a genius that's when true. I drink. Yeah. That's
TM. You are TM. Okay. So he pretty much thought he was the second coming of Jesus. And so he really wanted to focus on this new mission. So him and Bonnie moved in together.
Ooh.
So mind you that at this time, Bonnie was married with 4 kids and was becoming increasingly close with Herf, though they claim that their relationship was never anything more than loving and platonic.
I doubt that.
Yeah. But Bonnie's husband was that. Not having it. He was
yes.
I don't know. Like, you want to move in with a
How
strange
man? How are you
going to
sit down and tell your 4 children, hey, by the way, my friend is now Jesus, so I'm going to move in with him.
No.
Yes. Do you take the kids to Friendly's to break the news? Like, what do you fucking do?
So literally, Bonnie's husband was like, yeah, I'm not buying this bullshit.
Good for
so
him.
So he divorced her.
Wow.
She lost custody of her kids.
That's good.
And so the next logical step was for them to open a bookstore. Like that sold all different types of theological books.
Okay.
So it was called Christian Art Center.
Oh, they had to appeal to the Texans.
Right. Like they were like, reel them in somehow. But then
we
trap them and we get them on our extraterrestrial theory.
Exactly. So Jesus was an alien.
Then along with that, they opened a teaching center called The No Place. K-N-O-W, the no place.
It's no place, but they know things.
It sounds like the sunken place.
It sounds like
the sunken place. Or the bad place.
So here is where they would start to teach classes on theosophy and mysticism.
Theosophy? No way that's a word.
Like philosophy and theology.
Yeah. Like I thought you made that word.
I did not.
I've never heard of that word.
I know.
We learn something new every recording.
Every day. So... But they like weren't satisfied with this. They were like, we're not getting enough
people. They're never
satisfied. We need to spread our message to everybody else. So they decided to close down their bookstore, close down their learning center, and they hit the road.
Oh.
Hit the road, Jack.
Don't you come back no more.
What is this song? I'm Gen Z.
Take a drink.
Okay. Take a shot. We have let go of the drinking game. That's disappointing.
That is disappointing. Well, we just drank, so
yeah,
take back.
A shot. So we're back.
I'm about to take a drink.
Whenever I feel something, take a shot. Whenever I say absolutely, take a shot. You remember the rules.
So
and whenever Julie can't do math, which was already one.
Okay.
And geography.
Anyway, they started traveling in the Western United States. They had like no money.
Oh, were they like living out of their van?
Yeah, they were like selling their blood.
Shut up, what?
They okay. were like, but like you that's... know, like donating plasma, oh. like donating their
okay.
blood.
Okay. But everybody who went to college in Wilmington,
we all
you know.
Yeah, we don't.
You know the spot.
You never donated plasma in college?
No.
Actually, you're so privileged.
No, I wasn't. For a long time, I wasn't allowed to give blood because I was anemic. So, congrats. You just made fun of a disability.
Okay. Anyway, so they started to sell their blood.
As any good American would.
Sell it?
Sell it.
Ew.
Yeah. They were working odd jobs, mm-hmm. and they pretty much exclusively ate bread rolls. Like, that's nice. All they ate. Because they didn't have any more money.
Like, I could be Jesus. Okay with that.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're Jesus without the wine.
Yeah. So, during this road trip, they had their very first meeting. Information session.
This is completely irrelevant, but I just had an idea.
What?
What if we actually make, like, almost like a fantasy, like a March Madness style board of all the people who have pretended to be Jesus.
So,
and we have votes. Who do you think would beat this leader?
We'll post that on our Instagram.
But then how do you actually see who wins?
You post, like a poll.
Okay.
Polls. Like, you start with, like, the two.
I see.
March Madness.
March Madness.
We're coming after them next year.
That's a
somebody,
great idea.
Somebody look out for our, or everybody, not somebody. I mean, there's probably only one person looking at our Instagram. Dad. Anyway. Everybody look out for our Instagram. We're going to post our March Madness cult bracket.
That's a great
idea. In March. It's actually July. Anyway.
It's fine.
It's Leo season, bitch. Okay. So here they had their very first, like, successful
recruitment
meeting.
Ooh.
At the Waldport Hotel or Waldport Inn.
Okay.
And so here is what the flyer read.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh,
here it is.
Okay.
Oh, and we'll post this picture, too.
UFOs. Mm-hmm. Why they are here, who they have come for, when they will leave. Not underlined, a discussion of UFO sightings or phenomena.
Oh, they're weeding out the nerds.
Yeah, they're like, we're here for real. We mean business. Two individuals say they were sent from the level above human and will return to that level in a spaceship, parentheses, UFO,
oh, just to clarify. Okay.
Within the next few months, this man and woman will discuss how the transition from the human level to the next level is accomplished and when this may be done. This is not a religious or philosophical organization recruiting membership.
Right.
However, the information has already prompted a number of individuals to devote their total energy to the transitional process. This was bullshit. It was just them two. If you have ever entertained the idea that there might be a real physical level in space beyond the Earth confines, you will want to attend this meeting.
Red flag.
So Jesus is an alien.
I'm going to tell you about
that. That has
to
be the only explanation.
No,
that's what we're going to
literally what they believed.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So.
But wait, what I don't get logically, how do you level up from a human to be an alien? That makes no sense. You're either a human or an alien.
Well, because you have... Wait. Just wait.
Okay.
I'm about to explain their entire...
Philosophy. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. They had their basic... This is their basic outline of their religion, okay? Mm-hmm. So, pretty much... Hold on. Let me find it. Because now I'm skipping ahead just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
The religion believed in the, it's a hypothesis called the ancient astronaut hypothesis, which claims that extraterrestrials had visited humanity in the past and placed them on Earth, but eventually would return to collect a select few.
In this view,
this is Hunger Games, but religion,
so
philosophy.
In this view, the biblical heaven was actually a planet on which highly evolved beings dwelt and physical bodies were required to ascend there. Applewhite believed that once they reached the next level, they would facilitate evolution on other planets. He emphasized that Jesus, whom he believed was an extraterrestrial, came to Earth, was killed, and bodily rose from the dead before being transported onto a spaceship. According to Applewhite's doctrine, Jesus was a gateway to heaven, but had found humanity unready to ascend when he first came to Earth.
I believe it.
I believe that. Humanity, we're not the hottest shit in the galaxy.
Pretty much, he's like, creationism, false. Evolution, false. What happened is that another planet that's technically the heaven had extraterrestrials visit Earth. They dumped a bunch of humans in,
like we're an experiment.
So pretty much what they did was they put souls, like spirits, extraterrestrial spirits in these bodies.
Oh, they were just like Scientology. You know, yeah. I wonder if they took cues from Scientology.
When was Scientology first started?
The 50s, 60s.
Or so it's about, this is about the same time.
Yeah, so, because wasn't that in Scientology too, where they're like, your soul is part of like, I don't even fucking remember because I've been drinking.
So, yeah, it's like, this is like, your human body is just a vessel to carry your spirit.
Your spirit is eternal. That's why you have past lives.
Yes. Yep, once it's time for you to ascend to the next level, your vessel helps your spirit travel.
It's like a video game.
To the next level.
Yeah. It's an extraterrestrial video game.
It's so, like Pokemon.
Yeah. Level
that,
up.
Level up.
That was what they believed. And so they started to have more and more of these meetings, like at random lodges.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like,
wherever they could get the
and so people,
ballroom or whatever.
Yeah. So people started to believe this. Like, people were like, yeah.
Absolutely.
So they gained a pack of committed disciples that they called their crew. They were Heaven's Gate crew. And
that sounds like a dance group that would be on America's Got Talent.
We're the crew.
We're the Heaven's crew.
We're the Heaven's Gate crew.
I would buy it.
Yeah. So
they would totally get the golden buzzer.
So the funny thing is that Bonnie and Herf demanded that their followers called them Guinea and Pig.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Gooey. What? Okay.
Gooey.
Here's my thing. You claim to be an all-powerful being reincarnated.
Yeah.
And you choose the name Piggy?
Guinea and Pig.
Guinea and Pig?
Yeah.
You could literally call yourself anything. Xander, for fuck's sake. Xander. Like that. Like
that literally.
Literally anything.
They switch their names so many times. So they start with Guinea and Pig. Then they wanted to be called Tiddly and Shelly.
I'm sorry. That's
Tiddly.
A fucking
Tiddly.
What the fuck?
You're joking.
Fucking. Hold on.
Thanos.
Bo and Peep.
Okay. So was there. I'm guessing their reasoning in this aside, like, obviously, that's the fucking stupid name. But I guess having it coded as like a nursery rhyme would like make it more acceptable. Yeah. Like that's our code name.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because everybody knows like Little Bo Peep and like things like that.
Yeah. They were very theatrical. Oh. And they were pretty obsessed with Star Trek.
Of course they were.
So most of their literature pulls like straight up quotes from Star Trek.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
I don't know. Like that? I'm talking about like the old TV show.
Oh, William Shatner?
Yeah.
You're basing your whole religion on William Shatner?
Yeah. So.
Man, I've had too much wine.
Yeah. I pretty much put here that he was a knockoff L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh.
Did you even listen to our show? He's the founder of Scientology,
Yes.
L. Ron.
I'm not good. L. Ron.
L. Ron.
Remember L. Ron?
I don't have a good memory. You know this.
Anyway. So.
He wanted to be L. Ron. So instead of. He wasn't creative because L. Ron was a science fiction writer. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to rip off Star Trek.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, at least L. Ron wrote his own
science fiction. L. Ron was original.
These motherfuckers straight up just were like, Star Trek. Let's fully rip off Star Trek, like not even being subtle about it.
I mean, even Elrond created his own novels. Yeah. Like, yeah, I give him kudos for that, aside from being a fucking creep.
That's why I said fucking these guys were a knockoff Elrond. So this is when they started to call themselves Bo and Peep, because they saw themselves as shepherds.
That's boo. Yeah,
I get
that's,
it.
Boo. Oh, you get it now? And so this is when they started to have about like 70 followers, and they were nomadic, so they would just travel.
They're all, wasn't that, oh God, the movie The Bubble Boy with Jake Gyllenhaal, there's like a cult like traveling around in a school bus and they're all wearing white. I can tell nobody knows what I'm talking about right now.
Kat knows too much.
I know too many things about movies. If anybody's seen The Bubble Boy, it's a horrible movie.
I've heard of it.
But there's basically like a cult riding around in a bus and they pick up the Bubble Boy. So I'm imagining all these people just in a renovated school bus chanting about space.
Can I interrupt really quick?
Yes.
Luca doesn't even have 70 followers on Instagram. Can he give me tips?
He just needs to start talking about
Star
Trek.
He needs to
talk
about murder.
Start brainwashing, buddy.
Start brainwashing people,
Luca,
baby.
You have the potential to be a cult
Luca
leader.
Is my sister's dog. He's currently laying here by the microphone being a very good boy.
He's a good boy.
He has an Instagram.
At Luca Blaze.
Follow him. Follow him.
He's our unofficial mascot.
Besides Sirius and Quincy and Athena.
We
have lots.
Mason.
We like animals.
We love
You have more animal followers than me.
I know. Where was I?
Space.
So they're traveling around, right? And so the funny thing is that once they started to gain these followers, one of the followers inherited like a huge trust fund.
Of course they did.
He was essentially like a millionaire. So they started using all of his trust fund. They brainwashed him and used all of his trust fund to stay in these like.
They're running their hustle.
Rent these crazy ass mansions that they would stay in.
I believe it.
Like they were like, once they found that money, they were not trying to just fucking live out of their van anymore. They were trying to stay in these multi-million dollar mansions.
Wow.
So
that's how you get the rich people.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So
it's like with churches where you have to give like 10% of your income.
Exactly.
Yep.
I know that. I've been there. Shit. So at this point, this is where they started to teach that a prerequisite to being able to ascend to the next level was giving up your earthly desires.
Oh, money.
Oh, we're going to give up our earthly desires, but we're going to stay in this
mansion.
But that's
the thing is, like, but that's the thing though, is like they were spending the money. They didn't want to leave with an accumulated amount of money. They needed to spend the money while they were on Earth, essentially. Like they weren't attached to it.
Gotcha.
Is what the thing was.
Yeah, I get it.
So they had to renounce their friends, their family, media, drugs, alcohol, jewelry.
That's like any cult where you start, you literally socially isolate the person into like, they have no one to rely on but you.
Exactly.
So their whole thing is that, so like one of the biggest aspects was that you had to give up your sexuality and gender. Like they made people get, all of them had to get like the same bowl cuts and started wearing baggy shirts.
You know bowl cuts are not sexy.
They are
sexy. Bowl cuts are the least sexy haircut on this planet.
And that's exactly what
they
wanted.
Even in space, it's not sexy.
Exactly. So they were like, you have to give up your sexuality. They were not allowed to have sex. They were not allowed to masturbate.
Wow.
Oh.
And actually, Applewhite made them sign out a log to, like, they had, if they had nocturnal emissions, they.
That is so incredibly invasive.
I know. They had to log the day and time of how often they were having nocturnal emissions. And they would be shamed.
Oh my God.
For every time.
You know what? This is just a manifestation of, what is it? Applebee's, our guy here, getting.
Yeah.
Applebee's, Applewhite, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Apple. Like, he's just projecting his internalized conflict about his sexuality onto others.
That's literally.
Project onto others.
That's
like
literally
whatever
what
that
all sociologists
is.
That study this cult say is that he couldn't come to terms with the fact that he was a homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But Herf wasn't having it. So he made everybody else that he was following him give up their sexuality.
Yep. And it takes away their freedom too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so,
and their individual identity.
Yeah. Exactly. So the people that started following them, they, like, multiple of them were considered missing persons, like, because their families just never heard from them again.
Yeah, they just disappeared. It wasn't like Jonestown where, like, they didn't in Jonestown, like, they tried to encourage, like, at least sending a letter saying, hey, I've gone to this place and I'm really happy here. Yeah. But, like, they just, like, disappeared.
They
like,
just disappeared. Nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know they're psychopaths, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, just like in Scientology, kids were considered a burden. So there were multiple people that had kids and they had to choose either ascending or their kids.
What?
Yeah.
So what did they do with their kids if they chose to ascend?
They had to leave them behind. So there,
they just abandoned their kids.
Yeah. So there's actually a docuseries on HBO on the Heaven's Gate cult that interviews some of the kids of the members. And they're like, there was one girl who both of her parents went. And they just left her.
They just orphaned her.
They just orphaned her. Oh, they just left her. They just literally told her, we have to follow. We have to follow and ascend to the next level. And they just left her. And she never heard from them again.
Oh, my God. So, I can't search what something is about. Siri. Even Siri is distressed right now.
So another thing that made them lose their individuality was they made them give up their names. So they were not allowed to go by their given human names, and they had to adopt new biblical names.
Of course it's biblical.
Yeah. And they ended in the three letters Odie, O-D-Y.
Oh, that's right. I remember, I watched it forever ago, and it was just on as background noise, but I do remember this.
So you had three consonants in the first syllable, and then it ended in Odie. So for example, Rakodi, Jamodi, Lavodi, like
it's like when you're trying to make a poem in elementary school
and you just don't know what to rhyme.
You just
with
don't
shit
know
anymore.
What to write. Yeah. What rhymes with orange?
Yeah, smorange,
smorange,
Dorhinge,
Dorhinge.
Y'all never seen that Eminem video?
What?
Rhyming with orange. No. Y'all gotta watch it. It's really good. He goes in.
I've never seen that. Okay. We'll watch it. We'll watch it. I'm not judging you for liking Eminem. It's okay.
Oh, I wouldn't say I like him.
But you thought that he would.
But he has bars.
He did what he had to do. He did. Okay, so at this point, Herf and Bonnie became like, so they started posting their beliefs on the internet.
Of course they did.
And the media was just like ripping them a new one.
Of course.
Like... And so they started to believe that they were going to be assassinated by the government.
Oof. Okay, here's the thing. The government doesn't give a shit.
I know.
They just want your money.
Don't they, though? Right? Wasn't the FBI after the Jonestown guy?
Oh, they were, yeah. Because he was, like, running, like, there were, like, crimes involved. Right, yeah. But I don't remember if there were crimes
there
involved
were.
With Heaven's
there
Gate.
There were. Okay. They were just little nut jobs.
But the Satanic Panic was, like, big around this time. So I could see how they would like go around.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But the thing is that another thing that I came up during my research was like there were a bunch of alternative religions coming up at this time.
Which is not okay.
So they were called called New Age religions. So lots of New Age like alternative religions to Christianity were popping up.
Spaghetti Meatball Monster. Y'all don't know that.
Oh,
either?
I know Spaghetti Meatball Monster.
I am shook. I was like, what words are you saying right now?
Your followers will know. Spaghetti Monster is basically satirical religion.
Yeah.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster is the deity of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, or Pastafarianism. A social movement that promotes a lighthearted view of religion and opposes the teaching of creationism. It's so good.
I fucks with that.
That's who I believe in.
follow the great spaghetti monster in the sky.
Yes.
I love it. So yeah, they thought that they were going to be assassinated. So
that's kind of big on their ego.
So Herf and Bonnie stopped doing any and all public meetings and sent their followers in their place. And then at this point, they also began to have very little contact with their followers because they were afraid of being like poisoned or like assassinated because they thought that they had like intruders in their group that were just joining to like assassinate
like,
them.
Like moles.
Yeah, moles.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
So, but because, you know, like everybody was joining for them, and once they stopped having contact with everyone, this led a ton of people to renounce the group. So by 1976, they
When did the internet come out?
Or maybe they started taking out ads. Maybe the internet thing was later.
I think the internet was later.
The internet was later. I have it on here. I keep jumping around.
History.
Was it like the 70s?
The internet was alive in 1976. Anyway. No, don't look it up. That takes away the fun.
When was the internet born?
When was the internet?
1983. 83. Okay.
So maybe
they were taking out ads and papers.
Yeah.
So that was a very expensive thing
to
do.
Yeah, that's essentially the
internet.
People
still take out like wedding announcements in the paper. And, like, who the fuck reads that?
So at this point in 1976, they asked their followers to call them Doe and T.
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
That's exactly it.
Ray, a drop of golden sun.
You remember that they were musical theater fans?
Oh, yes. Of course. They're like, why not honor the great Julie Andrews of Sound of Music?
Exactly.
That's a religion I would follow.
I would follow that. But
I would follow
But see, the thing is that Herf and Bonnie also would follow that religion. And that's exactly why they picked that, because they specifically liked the Sound of Music.
Why not make Julie Andrews your god then? If you're a musical theater geek.
So eventually, they even remade the Do Re Mi song.
They dropped bars.
They dropped the Do Re Mi song. It was called the, hold on, I have all of the lyrics written down.
Oh, here. I'm so excited.
Yes,
for this.
I do. They changed the name to When You Know T and Doe. And I'll come back to it because.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to find like a clip of it to play on our Instagram.
Yes.
A deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Whatever the rest of it goes.
Okay. I think that's a good little interlude there.
Yeah, I'm definitely intoxicated.
Damn, you're a lightweight cat.
It's weird, cruel irony where I'm a lightweight, but I can handle shots like
a motherfucker.
Yeah. Shots. Do you not remember the hurricane party?
When you were, she was just taking tequila shots.
And you were just so baffled.
Hurricane party?
Yeah.
Remember when Hurricane Florence came and we were all locked up in Alex's apartment?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember now.
Yeah. Well, you were very drunk, so maybe you don't remember.
I don't really remember.
But
I remember Florence.
So, in June of that year, of 1976, Doe and T promised that there was going to be a UFO visit in the Medicine Bow National Forest in Wyoming. So, all of them gathered there in the middle of the forest.
It's like
staring
that,
up at the sky.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And then they had all been waiting there for hours. And then T came out of nowhere and was like, oh yeah, no, the
rain
UFO
check.
The UFO sighting has been canceled.
Different guy. Different day.
So here they saw that like there was a lot of intermingling between the cult members.
Get it.
So they were like, we can't have this. So they started to split them up. No
sexy
time. They started to split them up into smaller groups called star clusters. Yeah.
Okay, that's very
that's
indie.
Cute though.
That's kind of cute though. I do like that.
But before they all sent them off on their way, Herf had a little test for them.
Oh, what did Applebee's have in store for
them? He said, if you had $100, what would you do with those $100?
I would give you all the money, Applebee's.
That's not, there was only one right answer.
What was the right answer?
The right answer was that the only thing that they should purchase with that $100 is a gold ring.
What?
And he made all of his cult members marry him in a mass ceremony in the forest. And
that is like very A24 horror movie vibe going on right
there. So they had a whole wedding ceremony where each member of the Heaven's Gate cult got married to Herf.
I mean,
and they each had a golden band on their left ring finger.
He technically married a man, so I guess that fulfilled his suppressed childhood dream.
Was it real though? The gold?
I mean, I don't know.
Daddy Herf.
Ew.
I don't like that.
Sorry.
So after this, like, clearly he's got all of these people wrapped around their fingers.
Oh yeah.
It's fine.
It's just a charger.
I'm
not drunk.
Like, all of the devotees. So the weird thing about this cult is that Applewhite didn't just want people that were, like, semi-committed in this.
Oh, he wanted to take advantage of very traumatized people that were willing to throw themselves into
this. So he encouraged people who were not fully committed to the cause to just leave. So the thing is, like, people were allowed to just leave. Like, not in Scientology where they follow you forever. Yeah.
Or, like, any cult, like, even in Jonestown when they tried to leave.
Like, he was like, if you're not about it, fucking leave. Like, I only want fully devoted people in this cult. Because that made them have such a strong following. They literally asked him for his approval on all decisions. And, like, he essentially just, like, sat in his cabin and had everyone else do all of the work.
Of course.
And
that sounds
on brand. But all of the cult members said that he was positive and laid back, and he was, like, a father to them.
Ew. Why are you married to your father, you creeps?
Yeah. So, by 1980, the money from that one rich trust fund had run out.
Oh, yep.
So they all needed to start working. And so the crazy thing about this cult is a ton of people that were in this cult were really smart, and they were, like, really into computers.
So they started. Computers was the big thing. I mean, it's still a big thing, but, like, that was when computers were, like, booming.
Yeah. So they started their own IT business, essentially. Where they would start, they were, like, helping with coding.
Is that what Apple really is? Is Apple a cover?
I mean,
Apple is a cover for a cult.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs is not dead.
He's not. He's alive in his little turtleneck sweater.
He's hiding in Cuba.
He's hiding in Cuba with Elvis.
I believe it.
And Tupac.
So at this point, he saw that a bunch of people were getting restless. So he began to let them visit their families on, like, certain days. But
that's more freedom than other cults have had.
But the thing
doesn't benefit like the cult as a whole. Yeah. But, like,
well, the thing is, like, Herf saw that the only way to get these people to stay devoted to him is if he gave them some semblance of freedom. Freedoms.
Yeah, that so makes sense.
They each had to go with their Czech partner, so they always had to go in groups of two. Wow. And
it's like Scientology where you have your little buddy and you're not allowed to do anything.
Yeah. So this false sense of freedom served a double purpose. It was to show the disciples that they can be merciful, and to show the families of the disciples that they were there on their own accord and not actually missing or being held hostage.
I mean, that's smart.
Yeah. I mean, it's a super smart way of doing that. Yeah. So by 1985, Bonnie dies from cancer.
Oh.
Yep.
R.I.P. to the real mastermind.
And so this is fucked up because, remember, their bodies are supposed to ascend.
Ooh.
So when the disciples see this, that her body was deteriorating because of cancer. And it just died and nothing happened.
Oh, I remember seeing that in the documentary now. Yeah.
Yep. This is when Applewhite, like, freaked out and was like, actually, your bodies are just vessels and your spirit is the only thing that ascends.
Oh my God.
And once he notices that he's getting older, he pretty much makes it so that there is no, like, follow-up after him. Like, he is the one and only.
He's the only. There's no line of succession.
Right. So, like, if they're going to ascend to the next level, it's going to be with him.
And
with
him alone.
Only.
It's not like David Miscavige coming in and taking over shit with Scientology.
Like, if they needed to ascend or exit, it had to be within his lifetime. So this posed a little problem.
Did they keep her body? Or was that another cult?
It was another cult. Yeah. So once this happened, Herf began to call himself Jesus. Like, straight up.
Wow.
And he began to call Bonnie the Heavenly Father. And now every time he would refer to Bonnie, it would be with male pronouns.
But Bonnie's dead.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't she? I mean, she's Beau, she's Peep, she's Doe, she's T, whatever.
So now they talk about her as a god and call her he.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was the Heavenly Father.
She is the masculine energy. She is
the Heavenly Father.
Call her daddy.
So pretty much after this, Herf became increasingly depressed, erratic, and just like paranoid.
Well, yeah. I mean, what year are we in?
1985.
85. Okay. So what? He was born in
the
20s. Right? The 20s. So this man. Wait, what year are we in? With the story? What did you say? The 85. 80s?
85.
85. Yeah. So what? He's probably.
Math.
Fuck, I can't do math. What? He's in the 60s?
Oh my God. He was so born, bad at math.
I'm intoxicated, Raffy.
He was born in 1931, and it's the 80s.
Oh, so he's like 50. In his 50s.
Yeah.
But he knows he's getting up there because his platonic soulmate just died.
Yeah, exactly.
Platonic soulmate.
So as he's becoming increasingly unstable, he somehow devises that people ascend to the next level only every two millennia, meaning that the 90s would be the next time that.
So this man is just changing the script as
every single. Yes,
as a true theater kid, as a true theater kid,
he's improvising.
This man is improvising.
Yes.
He's rolling with the crowd. He's rolling on their reactions to get that standing ovation.
Exactly.
Fuck this guy.
Exactly. So by 1992, a bunch of people had left.
Good.
And there were only about 26 members left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so, it was more than that.
Nope, only 26 members. Wow. So this made her panic. And so in May of 1993, he changed the name of the group to the Total Overcomers Anonymous and spent
TCA
and spent $30,000 to publish a full-page ad in USA Today that warned about the catastrophic judgment that would befall the earth.
So you're telling that's me that's the next
logical
trust.
Step. Yeah.
So after this is when they started doing like lectures and stuff, public lectures and stuff. And so
they got to reach the people.
Yeah. In 1994, 20 former members rejoined and their numbers doubled. So it was at this time that they started posting on the World Wide Web.
On the internet.
But it resulted in harsh criticism.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to bully you on the internet. Exactly. We bully people over the internet.
I love to bully people on the internet. Bully people. So Herf took this rejection really hard.
He couldn't handle the internet.
And this is when he finally spoke for the first time about suicide being the only way to reach the next level.
Okay, this is just he's a theater kid. He's embodying this drama a little too
honestly,
much.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm not promoting suicide in any way, but I'm like, why don't you just do it yourself and not like get other people in it? Like,
well, because he's saying that like, it's like if he dies, all of the people that followed him, if he dies and nobody else dies, then they're going to see that he was a fake.
Right.
So they all have to die
to in level
order,
up.
Yeah, yeah, in order for level it not up. To be level up, in order for him not to be seen as a fake.
Right.
So, or in the case of Scientology, where you have somebody rise to power and then just take over your position.
But he was too narcissistic for that. Of course. He had to be the one.
He's a theater
kid.
He knows.
Exactly. So then this is when he finally renamed the group to Heaven's Gate. Because it was like called like the sexual something anonymous, and then
that
like the
sounds
TCA,
like a rehabilitation group.
Exactly, a rehabilitation group, and then this is when it finally got the name Heaven's Gate.
Because they're all gonna go to Heaven's Gate together.
And then in 1995, the group bought 40 acres of rural land in New Mexico. And they started a compound/monastery.
Oh, that's always a red flag.
And they called it the Earthship.
That's very original.
But by October, it got too cold in the desert and they abandoned that entire compound.
They think the desert is going to be like scorching hot all year round. Yeah. Have they not watched CSI?
Yeah, I know. They were dumb. They were stupid. And so at this point, you know, sexual tensions are getting high.
Of course, they're all sexually repressed and they marry to this one guy.
Can you guess what the next logical step was?
I think I know and I don't want to say it. Can you guess, Rafi?
Mass suicide.
Not yet.
Oh.
One last how do you suppress of- how do you suppress your sexual tension?
The Bible.
No.
Shame, guilt.
Nope. It wasn't strong enough. The only strong enough thing was castration.
No.
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 Too far. Too far.
So this after this was happening, after these sexual tensions were rising in the group, Herf was like, well, the only way to get rid of this sexual tension is if you get rid
literally
of your sexual just organs.
Just cut it off and be done. Oh, my God.
So Ouchie. So Herf and seven other members went to Mexico.
Okay.
And got surgically castrated.
Oh, this is even... Because I know they'll, like, chemically castrate people. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Snip, snap.
So...
Oh, I don't like
that. How do they castrate women?
They're...
Yeah, that's
they get rid of their clitoris.
Yeah, that's what genital mutilation is.
Yeah, they get rid of the clitoris.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Eight people total got castrated. Oh my God, Rafi, your face looks so disgusting.
I am disgusted.
We'll include a screenshot.
It's okay. We're getting to the end.
We're almost at the end of this.
Because now we're in October of 1996. They know that they're getting to the end. And so, being the theater kids that they are,
the drama, the flair,
the Heaven's Gates members, they start making these videos. Where they post on the internet.
Yep. And then they put them on the internet.
They're telling people that this is their one last chance to evacuate the earth before it gets recycled.
If they had YouTube
recycled.
At least they were conservation.
Use recycle Rihanna.
Yeah, just recycle Rihanna, yes. And so coincidentally, at the same time, the world learned about the Hale-Bopp comet coming through the earth.
Hale-Bopp comic.
Not Haley's comet. This is
no,
a different Hale-Bopp. Comet.
Hale-Bopp.
Hale-Bopp. I have not heard of that.
It sounds Hale-Bopp like a comet. A song.
It does. Hale-Bopp. Shoo-ba-da-boo.
That was not. I was thinking more like trap. Hale-Bopp.
What was that
two,
one song?
Two different types of
two
people
very
here.
Different types of energy right now.
Yeah. So in one of these videos, the crew, the class, they sing their own rendition of the song Do Re Mi.
Is this like when your kid is like in fifth grade and you have to go to their recital?
The recital. That's
and
exactly
it's just
it.
The cringiest fucking thing yeah. on earth. But as a parent, you have to stand there and applaud their like 65% effort.
So they call the song When You Know Tien Do.
When You Know.
And so here are the lyrics.
Oh, I'm ready. Serenade.
No.
I'm six.
You're a theater kid.
I'm six, so please forgive me. So, Do is here to take us home. Ray, the focus that's on me.
Wow.
Me, only next level mind. Fa, next level will not be. So, we go accordingly. Two, la level love of human. To T, the one followed by Do. And this brings us back to the one who is our older member. Don't need me so. It's fucking ridiculous.
That literally has like, it has no like flow to
no
it.
No flow.
Just substitute. Oh, I'm sorry, Luca.
That was
you're literally just like substituting words.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good.
There's
cringe.
No flow. There's no rhythm. They're theater kids. They know
they don't
better.
Even rhyme. They don't even rhyme.
And
so,
this guy is a revered musician at these
yeah,
universities
yeah,
he
yeah.
taught at. You thought he would set the
you,
bar
you would,
high.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
But alas,
they could
he
only
did
do
not.
So much. They could they are only mere mortals. They are
they're
not
mortals,
next level extraterrestrials.
Not a alien plane. Oh my God, I'm so,
so
drunk right now.
In the
now.
Video, in the series, me too. In
really?
The videos, yeah. In the video series, you literally see all of them like singing with their little sheet music.
Oh, are they doing the like choreography?
Yeah.
And
they don't
they're
have
all off rhythm.
Yeah, they don't have choreography, but they're definitely
they're trying
black.
To be on rhythm.
Yeah,
they're not.
Yeah.
Like everybody's out of sync.
Yeah, so they think that Hale-Bopp's comet is a spaceship. That's
right.
coming to take them from the earth, and that Bonnie T is following behind the spaceship on her own space.
Of course. Ship. That's the only and logical she's just thing.
Coming behind the comet to transport them all to heaven.
Right.
So by late March 1997, the group further isolates them and they recorded farewell statements that they also posted to the internet that you can see on the documentary. And the slogan for the final exit became 39 to beam up. Because that was the number of people they had, 39.
Okay. And, I mean, they're very straightforward with that.
Yeah. And in this video, like, Applewhite is, like, super emotional saying how much he hates this world and the earth. Oh, I remember
seeing that. Yeah.
And analysts of the cult believe that Applewhite became increasingly obsessed with the final exit because his health was quickly dwindling. Mm-hmm. He believed he had cancer, just like T. And he promised the group that they would ascend during his lifetime. So he couldn't possibly appoint a successor. So suicide it is.
I mean, that's a cult.
Yep. So starting on March 22nd, the suicide started. They had rented. They rented out a huge multi-million dollar mansion in California.
Die in style.
And exactly. And all of the members wore matching Nike shoes, matching black uniforms with patches on the sleeve that said Heaven's Gate Away Team. Like they were like
a high Space school Jam.
They were Space Jam going to fucking with the Looney Tunes to play the Monstars. Like that's what they thought. So,
oh my God.
Starting on March 22nd, the group or the 39 members divided into three groups and committed suicide within 3 weeks, essentially.
Oh, yeah. It was like one cluster and then another cluster and then the final cluster.
So the first group, so the way that they died is that they took lethal amounts of phenobarbital, which is like a central nervous depressant.
Yeah.
And alcohol, and then put bags over their heads.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that.
So essentially, they just fell asleep and then couldn't breathe. They suffocated
in their sleep.
Gotcha. So, funnily enough, is that a word? Funnily?
Funnily?
Funny?
Funny enough. Take a shot because we say.
Sociologists, when they studied this, they thought it was weird that Herf wasn't the last to die. He was actually in the second group to die.
Wow. I wonder why he chose second. Oh, yeah.
It's with Jonestown, he was the last to die.
He shot himself.
Yeah. But he went along with his members. So,
damn. That's, yeah. I don't want to say that's a leader, but...
That's a dedication.
Yeah. And so, most of the bodies... So, the way that it worked is, after the first group killed themselves, the second, the following group placed, these red... tarps over them
and placed
bags next to them with $5.75.
They gotta pay the fare.
That's the fare to get to heaven. And
it's they put their IDs. Money on the eyes for the underworld.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And their IDs, in this little bag, next to the bodies.
You can't get into heaven if you don't have a driver's license.
Exactly. And so the only people that didn't have those red bags were the final group because there was nobody after them.
So the real sacrifice. Yeah, giving up our eternal life so you can have yours.
I was pretty much say how he was supposed to die at the end because don't they have to ascend with him? So that last group literally could not ascend. Yeah.
Well,
with him.
I think the whole thing was as long as they died before Hellbop's comet arrived, they were fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That comes into play in a little bit.
Okay.
So the last three to die were Herf's three assistants.
Oh.
So they were the ones that took care of everything else.
Yeah.
They also took care of sending a letter to a former member giving him the tip to call the police a few days later. And so that's when the guy that was a former member anonymously called the police and gave them the tip to go search the mansion. Mm. And that's when the 39 bodies were found.
Oh.
And initially, when the report came out, they reported that 39 males had committed suicide.
Because they're all gender neutral.
Because they all had short haircuts and were wearing baggy clothing that you couldn't tell which ones were males or females.
It's just a whole room of people from Coconut Head.
Yeah,
Coconut Head from Ned's Declassified. Yeah.
And Raffy actually sent me this Key and Peele skit.
This is literally taken from it.
That was taken from this, yeah.
Watch it.
And, I'm so excited to watch it. It's funny because, like, all of the bodies were found, like, scattered around the mansion.
Yeah, weren't some of them, like, lying in bed, mm-hmm. and then others were just kind of, like, sprawling about.
Yeah, and the thing was that there was a huge master bedroom on the top floor of the mansion, and that's where Marshall Applewhite was found.
Oh, not Applebee's.
Age 65.
Wait, where?
In the master bedroom.
Okay.
Sat up.
Oh.
On the master bed.
Okay.
So after this, it became a huge media scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, because Marshall did not, he wanted to go out with a bang. Like, he wanted to be talked about.
Yeah. He succeeded.
And after this, when several former members, like, found out about what happened, they also committed suicide. Because they felt like they failed their mission.
They abandoned their mission. Oh,
so they were like, oh, if Hale Bopp's comet hasn't come yet, then I still have time. I'm pretty sure there were like at least two or three members that committed independent suicide after the fact.
Oh my God.
They felt FOMO.
Yeah. They felt FOMO!
Damn!
Isn't that what it is?
You are technically correct.
I mean, and then the most fucked up thing.
Oh God.
Is that some of the living former members held, like, a reunion.
What?
Where they invited T's daughter. And so T's daughter revealed that the entire time that the members had been forced to excommunicate their families, T had been writing letters to her daughter the entire time.
We got a double agent.
And signed it Love Mom. Talk later, Mom.
Mom is a girl boss, gas keep, gate light, whatever the fuck the phrase is.
And the entire and in one of the letters, she literally tells her daughter to conform to societal's norms and go to college, get married, and live a happy life on Earth. She knew
it was just a sham.
Yeah, and so sociologists believe that T actually wanted to leave, but she didn't want to be ridiculed for like abandoning her family and having to explain.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like either way, she would have been ridiculed by her surviving family or she would have been ridiculed by the
members. Yeah.
Still, fuck her. Because, like, she knew it was, like, she could have led that group out of it and then she deferred to this guy instead.
And so people, former members and other people who have studied this cult believe that if T would have been alive, if she wouldn't have died of cancer, that this suicide never would have happened because it was Herf's like delusional narcissism that was so focused on him being the next Jesus or whatever that wouldn't allow him to continue having more classes, more groups of followers.
I could see that.
Yeah. So that's it. And all 39 people killed themselves in that mansion. Damn. And it became the largest mass suicide event on U.S. soil.
Wow. And still, compared to Jonestown, that's like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonestown was fucking mad.
Yeah. That was fucking insane.
Yeah, that was fucking ridiculous. But yeah.
Wow.
So if you've made it this far, you know what time it is.
It's that time.
For the ABCs
of crime.
Wow.
Do y'all already have it?
No,
we
never do. We always
been a handful of times where we're like, oh my, there's one episode I have where I was like, oh my God.
You already had thought about it while you
won.
Okay, tell us. So lead us away, Raffy. You know how this goes.
And for the ABCs of crime.
Go, Raffy.
Your word of the day or letter is T for toxic theater kid. As in, don't be a toxic theater kid.
Yes.
If you don't make it on the main stage, don't start a cult.
Off-Broadway.
Do those weird little tours.
The regional productions.
Right. Join your local glee club. Yes. Like anything.
Don't make people commit mass suicide just because you want an audience. Don't be that toxic.
You can find an audience on the internet. Like we have.
Literally.
There's so much healthier avenues out there.
That's literally us. Raffi's really shaking her head at us.
Oh my God, you just opened up. Yes.
We solved it.
You can create a podcast. That's what these two dorky theater kids did.
Wow. You know what? We're never letting you come on here again.
No, they love me.
She's our number one fan. She designed, or not,
number two.
But she designed cool artwork for us for Christmas.
I did.
And with that,
God.
Catherine, tell us about our socials.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So if you loved this shit show, hey, you can also click that little link in the description that I think is, you know, on all the things, and you can donate $1. you can pay for this shit show. You know, it's optional though. We'd appreciate that dollar. You can even do $5 if you're a true fan. There's even the option of $10. That's a fucking stretch. Don't do that.
Don't give us $10.
And we're not saying that ironically, like, oh, don't give us $10, but give us $10.
No.
That's ridiculous. We know our worth on this show.
We're worth 99 cents to $5 max.
We know how to expend ourselves. So yeah, if you want to see all the photos of the people involved and maybe a wonderful video of the group singing that Do Re Mi song, you can follow us. God, I'm so drunk. That's so sad.
Catherine has had like two glasses of wine, and like, that's it.
Literally.
Yeah, I only drink like seltzers because I'm a child. So you're welcome. But you can follow us at ms.murder_podcast on Instagram. And we're also on Facebook. But Instagram is our main hotspot. So
and wish Julie a happy birthday.
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm about to turn 25.
Okay, you know
what's
funnier
than 24?
What?
25.
And with that, we say...
Good night.
Sleep tight.
That was fun.